What time is it? It's time to wake up. That's what time it is. Time for a wake-up call. That's the title of the message today. Time for a wake-up call. I believe God's alarm is sounding. And we dare not push the snooze button. Hey, look. It's not time to sit on your blessed assurance. It's not time to get slack and indifferent and lukewarm and apathetic. Oh no, right now, like never before, it is time to wake up. While on the one hand, I'm glad that we've got a new leader in this nation. And I'm thankful to God for not only President Donald Trump, but for Vice President Mike Pence and for his cabinet. However, I'm still, beloved, concerned about things. I'm troubled about things I see on the horizon, even with the administration. We dare not put our trust in Washington, but in the world. We dare not depend upon the politician, but on the Prince of Peace. Oh, yes. And you see, it's time to wake up. I believe there's a lot of Christians that are sleeping today. They've fallen asleep. They think, well, Donald Trump can fix everything. And now that we've got a vice president as a Christian and things, we are experiencing a little bit more freedoms in our nation, which we're grateful for, and the church said. But at the same time, it's time not to give up praying, not to quit fasting, not to quit reaching and preaching and teaching and sharing and caring the love of God now like never before. Oh, yeah, time for a wake-up call. Speaking of time for a wake-up call, I heard about a lady who was battling flu-like symptoms. Evidently, it's going around in our nation, and some even last week I was visiting at the hospitals and homes, and some said they were battling some flu-like symptoms. It reminded me of this dear lady who suspected that she had a temperature, running a fever. And so she was looking around for the thermometer. Well, she couldn't find it anywhere. Finally, she found it on top of the refrigerator. While it was on the refrigerator, it was beside her. By and by, her little girl came in from school in the third grade. She walked in the door, and the mama said, "Hey, honey," said, "you have a good day?" "Yes, I had a good day." She said, "Well, you know, I've not been feeling too good, and I was looking for the thermometer, and I finally found it. It was on top of the refrigerator." "What in the world was it doing on the refrigerator?" And the little girl said, "Was that alarm going off? I was wanting to get an alarm. Can I borrow whose ever alarm that is going off?" Hey, anyway, where was I at? I'm sorry, I lost my train. No, I didn't. Hey, this lady had a refrigerator thermometer on top of the refrigerator. She couldn't find the thermometer. And the little girl said, "Oh, yeah, Mama, I forgot to tell you. Our dog. Do I hear an alarm going off?" God's alarm is going off. It is an alarm clock. That's exactly what it is. I saw you digging for your alarm. God's alarm clock is going off. Don't hit the snooze button. I set this for 9:05. To go off this morning. And so I knew it was going to go off. I thought, but I forgot. Amen. Anyway, God's alarm clock is going off. Let me get back to the story. I'll try to finish it. This lady said to her daughter, "What in the world is the thermometer doing on top of the refrigerator?" And the little girl said, "I forgot to tell you, Mama. I used it because I thought our dog was sick. So I had to check the dog's temperature." The mama said, "You did what? Yuck! You put that thing in that dog's mouth?" The little girl said, "Not really." If she didn't have the flu, she had the flu after that, I'll assure you. Hey, look, time to wake up. It's time for a wake-up call. And what we're going to do today is we're going to see there are three ways to tell if you need a wake-up call. I believe these wake-up calls should be a wake-up for revival, a wake-up for a readiness, a wake-up call. And so we're looking today at a familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to propose three questions to you today, and we'll look at the text in a moment. Number one, what time is it spiritually? Number two, what time is it prophetically? And number three, what time is it personally? Well, welcome to the future. Welcome to the future. Do you know what's in the future? I'll tell you what's in the future. They've got now new birth control. And look at the size of this birth control microchip. What time is it? Cypher pills that talk to your doctor. I mean, these are the newest technologies. What time is it? Check this out. Smartphones in your arm. Wouldn't that be wonderful not to have to carry around or lose, I might add, a smartphone, but rather implant the smartphone into your arm. Now they've got brain capabilities and implants in the eye. Oh, what time is it? It's time for this microchip. Every single human being, by the way, it's not far-fetched. They're already doing this now. Have you heard of the healing chips? These chips they put inside of people. What time is it? It's time to wake up. And it's time, as even now in Japan, well, not just Japan, but here in America, I've read reports where they tag the elderly people that have dementia, and they want to keep up with them. This is December the 8th, an article I cut out and put and developed into a PowerPoint, and December the 8th, 2016. And here is the evidence of what's going on. More information. Now, I was reminded of what the Lord said in Revelation 13. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What that means, we don't fully know, but we do know it's closer than it's ever been. How about the EMPs? Look at all the things that are going on now. I'll come back to that at another time, concerning the electromagnetic pulse and the possibility. What time is it? It's time to wake up. Turn, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and stand as we read Daniel, chapter 12. As we're looking at Daniel, the wonderful prophetic book of Daniel, I was reminded it was 3:00 in the morning, early Friday morning, when God led me to this passage and began to birth more and more. I've been praying on this for some time, but it was early, about 3:00 this past Friday morning, that the thoughts began to be emanated in my heart and impressed upon my mind. Daniel chapter 12. Now you do know when you read the book of Daniel, you need to read it chronologically in this manner. Read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, then skip over to chapter 7, chapter 8, come back to chapter 5, chapter 6, go back to chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. If you just read it through chronologically, 1 through 12, you'll miss some of the historical timelines that Daniel is writing. Not one single negative word mentioned about Daniel throughout the whole book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. Chapter 1, he learned to live a life of moral purity. Chapter 2, he lived above, understood about authority. Chapter 4, Daniel understood and came on and lived a life of humility. Chapter 5, Daniel understood about God's sovereignty. Chapter 6, Daniel faced adversity. Chapter 7, Daniel experienced victory. Chapters 9, Daniel saw prophetically. And then chapter 11 and 12, Daniel saw into eternity. We come to chapter 12 of the book of Daniel. And I just want to read a few verses. Lord had me to share a message on one of these verses some back time ago, but nonetheless, this is something that God has birthed on my heart this week, and I want to share it with you. Daniel chapter 12, if you're there, say amen. And at that time, underline that word time, time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's a wake-up call at that time. Now, wait a minute. Before we read any further, you need to go back to chapter 11. Why? Why do you need to go back to chapter 11? Because there's five personalities in chapter 11. You can remember them. They all start with A. Ahasuerus, king of Persia. There is Alexander the Great, who was the king of Greece. Third, there was Antiochus. Fourth, Antiochus Epiphanes. Fifth, the Antichrist. All of them start with A. So you go back to chapter 11 and see what Daniel is revealing. Now we come to chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Notice thy people. Who is thy people? When Daniel is writing, he's writing to the Jewish people. Don't miss that. Oh, yes, we can draw some practical application as we will today. But technically speaking, Daniel is writing during a time frame to the people of God, who, by the way, are exiled in Babylon. Keep reading. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. And such as never as there such a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, notice how many times he's saying at that time. And at that time, thy people, who? The Jews. I'm reading from verse number 1, the last part. At that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Let me just fast forward real quickly to tell you, you need to study the book of Revelation chapter 20 and other passages in regards to when the time this will be fulfilled. The Old Testament saints, of course, will be resurrected, and that is mentioned, many believe, and I personally do, as in the futuristic tense. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Verse 4, underline it. Here's where we're going to focus. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Notice, many shall run to and fro. What are they doing running to and fro? Some say they're searching for a word. They're looking, even today, in our modern day world, 2017. People are saying, what in the world's going on? Where are we heading? Where is America? What does the Bible say? What about all these issues that are taking place in our world? Many will run to and fro. And I'm glad you're here today. We're going to look at some of the implications of that. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Man, with a touch of a button now, you can put up just about anything. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart as we think for a moment. It's time for a wake-up call. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for times such as this. And I pray you'll stir our hearts, Lord. You'll get us out of our slumber, Father, to see your plan, your purpose, your vision, Lord, your calling on our life. And God will not be discouraged and murmur and complain about our hardships and our persecutions and, Father, our inconveniences. And, oh, God, get out of your will. But, Father, bring us into the light. Bring us into fellowship with you today. And, Father, give us grace to see you as you are and hear your voice as you speak to us, and surrender our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions, our future, our finances, our family, our all in all to you. And we ask now to just get glory. Thank you for times such as this. And God, we just anticipate you working in marvelous ways, that, Father God, that we know that your word is still relevant for today, is still alive, and we pray, Jesus, you'll be alive in our hearts today. You'll have your will and way. You'll save those that are here today that aren't prepared to meet you. Those that are, dear God, we pray you'll keep us encouraged and fighting the good fight of faith until we see you face to face. We ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. What time is it? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And three questions I want to ask today. Here they are. Number one, what time is it? What time is it spiritually? What time is it spiritually? And then what time is it prophetically? What time is it personally? Number one, what time is it spiritually? Tell me something. Where are you at spiritually? Daniel said, shut up. God said to Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. What time is it spiritually? I don't know about you, beloved. Hey, look, But there's a lot of people today, it seemed like now that we got a new president, now that things are going on, people just seemingly are just indifferent with all the stuff going on. What time is it spiritually? Hey, look, two times. There are two specific times that God put on my heart to share with you today, and here they are. Number one, it's CDC time. CDC time. What I mean by CDC time? Here's what I mean by CDC time. Confusion, deception, and confrontation. It's CDC time. What do I mean? Confusion. Hey, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. You turn the TV on, and you don't know who to believe. What's saying what report? You look at the news reports, whether it's even NBC, ABC, the secular news channels, even Fox News. You don't know what to believe this day and time. Y'all aren't with me. I'm telling you. And you don't know what kind of conspiracy is going on, what kind of propaganda is going on. It's just hard for the people of God, for people in general, to know what's the truth. Confusion, deception, and confrontation. Jesus said it'd be that way in Matthew chapter number 24, verse 5, verse 4, verse 11, verse 24. He said there'd be days of deception. Well, you want to know what's going on, don't you? You don't know what to believe. I want to tell you something. Look up here. You can believe this book right here. I said you can believe this book right here. I said it will not lie. It's God's infallible word. It's forever set in heaven. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's like a fire shut up in our bones. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. Hey, the word of God stands and you can stand on it. Oh, yes, you can stand on it. And so in a time like this, when you turn on the news, you don't know what to believe, who's telling the truth, who's telling a lie, go to this book right here and say, hallelujah, my God said this is what's going to happen, this is what's going on, and I know that my God is still in control. I don't have to go around worried and anxious because it seems like the sky is falling. My Lord Redeemer, he lives, and he's coming again. That's where we need to go, right there, the book right here. Deception, confusion, and confrontation. Speaking of that, you know, we're not getting any younger. How many know we're not getting any younger? We're getting older. I've said before, you know you're getting older when your knees buckle and your belt won't buckle, all right? You know that you're getting older when your back goes out more than you go out. I heard about one man that was getting older. He was up in his early 90s. And he said, man, he was talking with a friend. He said, you know what? He said, man, he said, the older I get, the more I feel like a baby. His friend said, what do you mean? He said, the older I get, the more I feel like a baby. He said, what do you mean? He said, one minute I'm laughing, one minute I'm crying. He said, I think I just wet myself. Now listen, folks, if you're so sanctimonious and religiosity, you just go to the nursing home and you'll have a merry heart, do it good like medicine. Guess what? One day you're going to get older too, hello. And if you don't learn to just laugh a little bit and say, well, praise God anyway, then you're going to live a miserable, cynical life. And guess what? Nobody want to be around you. You talk about having influence, everybody be running from you. But look, hey, CDC, confusion, deception, confrontation. But wait a minute, there's another time that more seriously that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Now this is going to hit hard. Can I warn you? This is going to hit hard. This is going to be personal. This is going to be direct. But I love you, but I got to tell you. God showed me this. I believe the Lord showed me this. I really do. That today is make your own God day. Make your own God day. Whatever God you want, you make your God. What I mean? Truthfully, for some, maybe some of you today, you know who your God is? He's a blind God. A blind God. What do I mean? He's just some God that's blind. He can't see the bad going on. He can't see our sin. He's like an old man with a cane or a crutch. He's just kind of on Medicare. Some people's God is a picture of a blind God. I want to tell you something. My God's not a blind God. Amen. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is complete toward him. Oh, yes, the Lord does not slumber and sleep. Hey, is your God a blind God? Can he not see what's going on? I'll tell you a second Make your own God day. And that's what's going on in America. Make your own God. Tell me, what's your God? Tell me, what's your God? You know, number two God? Number two God is spare tire God. Spare tire God. You know what I mean? God, I only need you when I'm in trouble. I only need you when I need a spare tire. God, you just do your thing. And God, I just want you to come and be ready to fix my problem when I need you as a spare tire God. And by the way, if it costs me a whole lot or if it's inconvenience, don't ask me to do a whole lot, God. I just want to use you as a spare tire. That's the kind of God we've got around that people are making their own God. Some of you, the truth be known, you got a spare tire God. You really don't want to surrender to the Lord. Of Christ. You really don't want to come under the authority of the Word of God. You really don't want to obey God and see God do a real work in your life. You just want God when you're in trouble. You just want God to, come on, God, fix my spare tire when I'm in trouble. I'm glad that He's there for us in trouble, but He's more than just a spare tire, God. He is Almighty God. Amen. Tell me, are you making your own God? What's your God like? You've made your own God. You know you have. You've got the God in whom you want to serve. How you've already made your God. Is He a blind God? Is He a spare tire God? Number three, is He a pet God? People got God today making Him out to be a pet. All right, God, just like a pet dog. Is your God a pet? To pat Him on the head and say, good boy, God. Sit, God. Go, God. I'm afraid to say, here in America and here all over the world, we've got a pet God that we just want to say, God, you sit there in the corner now, God. Be a good little boy, God. Sit, and we don't act like that. But the truth be known, that's how we're treating God, like He's a pet. How many know He's not a pet? Amen. He holds the wind in His hands. The waves are under His feet. Oh yes, He has power over death and can rebuke demons at a single word. He's got power over disease. He's God, and there is none else beside the God in whom we serve. He's not a pet God. He will not sit at our command. He will not stay at our command. He rules in the heavens. The heavens declare His glory. He's God, and there is none else beside our God. He is coming one day. He's got all authority in His hands. And my God is a God who doesn't stay on the cross. He's conquered the grave. He's overcome death. He's got the keys to death and hell. I don't know about your God, but I know my Redeemer lives. Is your God alive today? Is He little pet God? Oh, God, you just go sit in the corner. You know what kind of God you've already conjured up in your mind. What kind of God is your God? We live in a time when people make their own God. It's not consistent with the Bible. Number four, what about not only a pet God, but speaking of a pet God, did you hear about the man that went to the pet store and he wanted to buy a talking pet? He didn't want a parrot, so he decided to try out one of the new animals that the store owner had. He had a sign that said, talking centipede. Man had never seen anything like a talking centipede before. He said, wonder what that is. I'll buy it. Store owner said, he'll talk. I said, all right. Well, that'll be a real blessing. Let me buy that centipede. And so he bought the centipede, took him home, and he put him in a little matchbox. You know centipede. And he put him in that little matchbox. Came Sunday, he said to the centipede, I'm going to church today. You want to go to church today? Centipede didn't say anything. He said, I said, do you want to go to church today? He opened the matchbox. Hey, I said, I'm going to church today. Do you want to go to church today? No response. He said, hey, I said, I'm fixing to go to church. Do you want to go to church? The centipede said, I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes. Hey, hope you got your shoes on, all right? Put your shoes on. Look, some people's God is a pet God. Some people's God is a spare tire God. Some people's God is a blind God. Oh, God can't see my faults. Oh, yeah, I know He sees the blood of His Son, but wait a minute. But fourth, Some people's God is a box God, B-O-X. What is your God like? What kind of God do you have? What kind of God have you made? You say, oh, but I believe God of the Bible. Well, you're living like your God's in a box. I said, you're living like your God's in a box. Why are you doubting God? Why are you going around whining? Why are we complaining? Why don't we trust God? My God is in a box, God. You know what the Pharisees did? They wanted their God to be in a spiritual computer. That is, the Pharisees, strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. They were religious. Today, there's no problem about religiosity. People can tell you. And by the way, I think that's one of the signs of confusion, deception, and confrontation. People today use the word God, Bible, prayer. Listen to me. Look at me. I love you. But if your lifestyle doesn't line up with what you say you believe, you need to change your lifestyle. And I don't buy into all this God business that people throw around just casually. If God of the Bible is who the God you serve, your life, my life will be different. What's your God like? And I know some of you may get mad, but I love you anyway. A box. You need to let him. Oh, I know God can. I know I've got these problems and I understand. I know that God is able to do all this stuff and all. But I've got my God in my little box over here. And God really can't do a whole lot. And he's kind of weak anyway. And I've got bigger problems than God can deal with. And in my life, I mean, I really want God to stay in a box. Oh, listen. Is your God a God in a box? What is time? What time is it spiritually in America? I'll tell you what time it is. It's time that people have made their own God. Some of you have. I'll tell you the truth. You've made your own God. You've decided what you want God to be like. You've decided, no matter what the preacher says, no matter what the Bible says, we've all got our little preconceived notions about God, and God understands this, and God will overlook this, and God will... No, wait a minute. What is your God like? When's the last time you really understood who God was, what he wants to do? Do you really know him, or do you just know a lot about him? You come to church and you just want to acquire facts. Do you want to do the trivial questionnaires and see how much you know about the Bible? Or are you really in a relationship with God? And then last, what time is it spiritually? It's time. And last but not least, you know what a lot of people have today? Don't anybody move. Money God. Money God. I said not anybody to move. Brother Ken's already grabbing it. Thank you, brother. Money God. God's up in heaven and God's doing this. This is what people's God is. God's up in heaven and he's throwing out money. Oh boy, my God's a money God. And today that's all that some people's God is. Come on, God, send me a $100 bill. Send me a $1,000, God. Is your God a money God? Oh, that's all. Some people, that they just, come on, God, give me. I'll tell you something. God owns a cattle on a thousand hill, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You say, but Pastor, I don't really deep inside believe all the stuff you're saying, but truthfully, I've been living like that. Oh, that's conviction. Have you been living like your God's blind? Like your God is a spare tire? Like your God is a pet God? Are you treating God like he's some box somewhere? Are you saying, God, you're just a money God? I just want some money, God? Come on now. Let's be real. Let's be real. What time is it spiritually? I'll tell you what time it is. It's time to wake up. And it's time to have discernment in this day and time. Oh, like never before. Daniel begins to see some things. Number two, what time is it? It's time to wake up. Wake up call. Number two, what time is it prophetically? I want to tell you what time it is prophetically. Daniel gives us some little insight. He tells us in chapter 7 that there's coming a time when there's going to be a rebuilding, whether it's the revived Roman Empire or whether it's some other infrastructure. I personally believe it's perhaps at least to be the infrastructure of the EU in Daniel chapter 7. Why? In 476 AD, Rome never was completely annihilated. However, it began to dissipate somewhat, but never was annihilated or eradicated. Therefore, Rome has never been totally destroyed. Therefore, it could very well be at some time in the future revived. Daniel, besides whether you believe that or not, Daniel tells us this is what's going to happen. There's coming a time when the revived Roman Empire, who was, by the way, was at one time supposed to conquer the world, as of now, Rome has never conquered the world. That means the word of God must be fulfilled. If it says Rome is going to conquer the world, I believe it means that Rome is going to conquer the world. Well, when is that going to happen? I'm telling you, what time is it prophetically? God says you better keep your eye on God's time clock. I'm not talking about just some preacher saying this. I'm not talking about some anchor, news anchor. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about what God says is going to happen. And brother, when God says something's going to happen, you better believe it's going to happen. You can mark it down. What time is it? It's time for this little horn to emerge, as in Daniel chapter 7. The Antichrist. That's what time it is. Yeah, that's what time it is. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, the one that will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Hey, look, wake up, child of God. What time is it? It's time to wake up. It's time to look up. It's time to dress up. It's time to be about the master's business. It could happen. It's going to happen. I don't know when. What time is it? I'll tell you what time it is. Do you believe that Daniel pinpointed? I mean precisely. I mean just with such accuracy. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel looked in the future. He saw what God's prophetic plan would be for the Jewish people. And he said this, verse 26, after saying 70 weeks are determined for thy people. He said, Messiah shall be cut off. How did Daniel know that? Daniel saw 500 years down the road. He saw Messiah, Jesus Christ, who had not even been born at that time, would be cut off. Die a violent death. If the book of Daniel has been fulfilled in the past, how many believe that it will be fulfilled in the future? You can look at one passage after another passage after another passage and see the word of God is absolutely accurate. Daniel. Hey, Daniel. Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall enter and destroy the city and the sanctuary and the end thereof of the flood. What time is it spiritually? Hey, where are you at spiritually? What time is it prophetically? You know what else Daniel saw? Daniel saw the time in Daniel chapter 11. Watch this, watch this, watch this. The king of the north, the king of the south. Who's the king of the north? Syria. In all indications, king of the south. Who's the king of the south? Egypt. He saw this alignment of nations coming together, invading Israel, as shown in Ezekiel 38 and 39, as shown in Psalm chapter 83. What time is it for prophetically? Hey, I want to know where we're going. Hey, I want to know what's going to happen. Hey, I want to be able to tell other people. Here's the deal. People are wondering, where in the world are we at? Some of you are wondering that. You turn on the news and say, man, you can't go. You can't get any peace. You can't go to bed with a clear conscience because all the confusion, all the lies, all the deception, all the chaos. Where in the world are we going? Pick up this book right here. Say, hallelujah, Jesus is coming. I know where we're going. And he's coming one day. And it could be today.
And furthermore, one day we're going to meet him, whether in death or in the rapture. Daniel says this, Armageddon's inevitable. That's where we're going. And then you know what Daniel says? Where we're heading prophetically? I'll tell you where we're heading prophetically. Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. God the Father, look at me. God the Father takes the kingdom, and guess what he does with it? We sing a lot about the kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not literally here on earth until Jesus comes and sets up his millennial reign. That's when the literal kingdom of God will come. Notice I said literal. His kingdom is everlasting. But nonetheless, I won't get into all the ramifications about that other than saying this. God the Father gives dominion, honor, and a kingdom to his Son. Well, where's Jesus right now? Somebody tell me. He's not on earth, is he? Is Jesus on his throne on earth? Somebody tell me that. Is he sitting in Jerusalem on his throne? That's why I say the kingdom is not on earth now, per se. I know people say the church replaces Israel, and they use the kingdom terminology, dominionism, to say the church has replaced Israel. God will not fulfill his covenants with Israel. The kingdom's now on earth, and many don't even believe in a future kingdom. I believe the Bible, literally, historically, grammatically, when God says he's going to fulfill his kingdom and that Jesus will rule and reign forever and ever, he will set up his kingdom. His kingdom's not here on earth, but one day he's coming in glory and power. And one day the saints of God are going to ride on white horses. And one day the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And one glorious day, Jesus is going to split the eastern skies. And one day he's going to shout and the voice of the archangel. And one day soon, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory. And one day, hey, there's going to be a great getting up morning. And one day, out of his mouth will come a sharp two-edged sword. And one day, he's going to tread on the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And one day, every knee is going to bow in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ, he is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He's Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You might as well bow your knee now. You say, well, I don't believe in all that stuff. Go ahead and do it now. You're going to do it one day. And see, he's given a kingdom. And the angel said, his kingdom, there shall be no end. Hey, I'm closing now. Time for a wake-up call. What time is it spiritually? Shut up the words. Seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. What time is it spiritually? Hey, question. Where are you at in your spiritual walk with the Lord? Where are you at in your spiritual walk with the Lord? What time is it prophetically? God has got his plan, and it is being fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. How many know somebody right now that's not saved, that's not a Christian? How many know today, right now? I'm telling you, this message right here ought to call us for a wake-up call. Wake-up call. Wake up call. Where are you at? What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why aren't you serving God? Why aren't you in the will of God? Why are you being influenced by these other things? Today can be a new day. God's got you here. Time for a wake up call. I guess if Brother Walker could speak to us today, last year this time, Brother Walker, you'd have no idea that your dear wife of 53 years would be in heaven, Mary. This time last year, no idea. But all that God has brought him through, 5 months being at the hospital in rehab in Macon, Georgia, at the Coliseum Hospital, and then rehab, Regency rehab, from July the 29th to December the 30th, if I'm not 29th or 30th, 5 long months. This time last year, Brother Walker would have never believed or dreamed that his wife would be taken on into glory. But God's got a plan. And you and I don't know what the future holds, but wait a minute, we know who holds the future. And that's why I say there's no better reason to know that God is not the God we described that the world is trying to make their God be like. What is your God like? It's a wake-up call. Today's God's ringing his alarm clock. Will you hear it? Will you take heed to it? Will you say, Lord, I don't know how much more time I've got, but whatever time I've got, I want to use it for your glory. This time last week, Chloe can testify, her fiance, 53 years old, Scott. He was fine this time last week, right? Fine this time last week. All of a sudden, has a problem medically. Now he's in ICU, in the hospital, on a breathing machine, touch and go. He may bring through, he may not. We don't know. Hey, look, it's time to wake up. Let's all purpose in our heart to be what God wants us to be as we stand together today.